Hallelujah. God is good. I love that introduction, didn't you? You've forgotten already? I tell you though, you want to live a long time? Have a sense of humor, okay? Just very quickly, character comes with time. If you will listen to the Lord, and we're going to deal with that right now, and we can see how God is wanting to grow character in us. But little incident this week, some of you who are older will appreciate this. I got out of my car Friday morning, it's feeling good. So I kind of stepped out, turned the corner, there's a nice rocky part there with a little bit of gravel. As I turned the corner, put my leg out, my knee checked out. Nothing there. And I thought, man down. And you know, one thing I've learned to do is if you're going, just relax. You know, as they say, enjoy the trip, okay? And anyway, I came off very easy, just a couple of major wounds. But apart from that, I'm fine. But if you see me like step out, stop praying, okay? Oh, but God is gracious, God is good, and I'm so happy to be with you this morning. I have loved the Lord for so long, and it's just a blessing to see what He's doing in the lives of people. And I want you to start to focus now as we just look at this and see what God is really doing in our lives is He's building character. You know, He's building a church. But building a church is not our focus. Building ourselves, as it were, allowing God's Spirit to work within us and build the character of Jesus Christ is a revelation of the church to the world. It's a revelation of God. And you count, each one of you matters to the Lord. So, basically, what is character? We've got to differentiate here between character and personality, okay? You can develop your personality, and usually you'll tend more towards the entertainment industry, especially if you have a sense of humor, okay? And you'll get into a lot of comedy. But personality is great, but it's not what God is wanting to build in us. He's wanting to build character. And that is so important. So, what are we striving for here? We're striving really for a strength of moral fiber, if I can put it in those terms. And I just want to say to you today and to those online, the sermon's going to be in English today. So if you struggle a little bit, I apologize. Okay? You can laugh. All right. Okay, so we're looking at moral fiber, that very being that is within you, that strength that God gives us. We're looking at honesty. We're looking at ethics. We're looking at charity. We're looking at those things that God wants to reveal Himself through us to others. And I will say this as an aside, right now, God is calling forth character in this nation so that the character of this nation can be revealed. You wonder why you're going through a hard time? Character is built in stressful situations, okay? So as we as a nation go through a hard time, as we as a nation are looking to see what is our direction, God is building within us character. Who wants to be a man of principle? Who wants to be a woman of integrity? Principles and integrity are all part of our character. First scripture that I'd like to look at this morning is Hebrews chapter 1, because actually in Hebrews chapter 1, this is the only place where the Greek word character is mentioned, okay? It's referred to, character is revealed, but the word character is mentioned in this one scripture. If we can pull that up on the screen, that'd be great. And in fact, I can read it right there. That's good. The Son, okay, which is Jesus, or who is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. Can you picture that? The radiance of God's glory. And here's the word character. He is the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Do you see how Jesus is the powerful word? He is the word of God. The word of God came and lived amongst us. Jesus was the revelation of God to us on this earth. But after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand, which is the place of authority, right, of the majesty in heaven. So he's seated right now at the right hand of God, and we are seated with him in heavenly realms. So what is God wanting to build? He's wanting to build a representation of him, someone who reflects the glory of God in all situations. Character was something that was really in focus. You might not know this, in the late 1800s, especially in England, the time of the great empire, Queen Victoria. It was something that every man wanted to possess. And so the way that they found to possess it was, they just go out somewhere and fight a little war. Go to some third world countries where it was real easy just to bring in their powerful weapons and win victories and build character, so that when you came back, you were a man of character. Okay? And you'll see that a lot in that period of time. We've learned since then, okay? People got a little tired of them coming over and destroying their land and taking all their goods. And so things settled down a bit over time in history. But to be a man of character is very important. Anybody seen the movie The Four Feathers? Yes? Okay, I see a couple of hands. If you watch that movie, that is essentially about, maybe I should have picked a more popular movie. But anyway, The Four Feathers is about a guy who is declared to be a coward in the military, resigns from the military because the military is going to the Sudan to fight a war, and so he's just not going to go because he wants to keep his life and enjoy his life. And especially at that time, there were lots of people getting killed, so they declared him to be a coward. In the end of the movie, he actually goes over to the Sudan as a private person, saves all his friends who called him a coward, and came back glorious. He had character. Okay? So you get the gist of this. But that's not all. Character is not just about bravery. Character is about perseverance. Character is about knowing God and persevering in the things of God, because we, as the people of God, we need to have godly character. And so that's what God is wanting to do in our lives. Let me give you a little illustration here of that period of history. If you bring up the two verses of my son's, one of his favorite poems that he probably got to write out a million times at school as punishment. It's a poem, he's referred to it. It's called If. And it's by Rudyard Kipling. You know Rudyard Kipling? You've seen The Jungle Book, right? He wrote The Jungle Book. That was all by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, McDonald's, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. I got that line down. Okay? Character. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or work with kings, not lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Do you see the nature of that? Do you see where character is going? It's the resistance of our feelings, the resistance of our emotions. It's the not reacting. It's the responding. Character is where we live out the glory of God. And that's all good news. The bad news is that's all built in stress. That's all built in times of anxiety. That's all built in times of pressure. When things around you aren't going the way that you thought they would. Anybody there at the moment? I'm telling you, there's a lot of that going on right now. People are unsettled. Things that they thought were going to work out have not worked out. What is God saying? That's the important place to be. What is God saying in our circumstances? All right, so if you are building something, you're going to have, and every construction worker will know this, you're going to have a plumb bob. I used to call it a plumb line, I still do, but I found out when I was living in Seymour that it's, hey Graham, it's not a plumb line, people don't know what you're talking about. It's a plumb bob, okay, a plumb bob. All right, what does a plumb bob do? If you hold a piece of string with a weight on it, essentially you have a plumb bob. A plumb bob gives you a vertical line, and guess what? Even in Australia, the plumb bob points to the center of the earth, okay? Down. So a plumb bob gives you a straight line. It gives you a standard by which you can build and construct a building. Without a plumb bob, without a standard, without a guide, your building's going to fall all over the place. That's if it even stands. God has given us a plumb line. It's right there. It's the Word of God. That is your plumb line. When you read about Jesus, that's who you are. When you see the things that Jesus is doing, that's what we do. When you hear the things that Jesus is saying, that's what we say. Because Jesus was in delegated authority to the Father, and he said to us, hey, the things I see the Father doing, that's what I do. The things I hear the Father saying, that's what I say. So there's a great deal of submission in terms of allowing God to form the nature and the character of God within us. So we have a plumb line. The plumb line is his Word. And thank God in 1 John, we see that the Word was revealed to us. In fact, he came and he dwelt amongst us. He, as the Greek word says, he tabernacled amongst us. All right? He literally pitched his tent and he came down from the mountain. We're not trying to get up the mountain by some direction to meet God. God came down from the mountain and he dwelt amongst us. And his name is Jesus. Isn't that wonderful news? Hey, we could stop right there and just like, it's done. Okay? But you can see the direction we're going. Let's have a look at a man. I love this guy. I keep coming back to him. His name is Gideon. And what I like about it is, I don't want to say he was such an idiot. That would be bad to say. But he was so much like I feel sometimes, okay? Just like, hey, what's happening here? And so I like that because, I don't know if you know this or this happens to you. I have a tendency to look at Jesus as a Superman. I put him so far out, I've got such high regard for him that I feel like he's untouchable. And I can say to myself, I couldn't do that. But God filled me with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is living within me. That is not just knowledge of God, and that's not just a tingly feeling, but that is the very Word of God that is in me because the Holy Spirit is my advocate. The Holy Spirit whispers words from Scripture to me. When you get a sudden thought, and it's a Scripture, or it's a godly thought for once, you know where that comes from? That comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a thought that just almost, it's like out of the ether. Because God has placed his Spirit within us. We've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. What he does is he not only strengthens us and guides us, but he gives us power and authority. Jesus operated in delegated authority, and so do we. Our authority is given to us by Jesus, and it comes through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. And it's a wonderful life. But there's some factors that have to take place. So let's have a quick look at Gideon. I'm going to turn to Judges chapter 6. If you'd like to take up your Bibles, it's a little over to the left. If you get to Kings, keep turning to the left. If you get to Joshua, it's a little over to the right. How's that? Okay. And you have to understand where Israel was at that time. Israel was in a position where they had sinned, and they were living in that sin. And in verse 1, it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Guess what? Bad character has bad consequences. If you are being discipled or your character is being shaped by lies, by deceit, by bad circumstances, you are going to turn into a bad person by definition. So Israel, by their own volition, have fallen into sin. They'd separated themselves from God. And they were looking to themselves. They were all hiding in clefts. They were hiding in little valleys. And in Gideon's case, he had found himself a little position where he could grind some corn and eke out an existence for himself. Sin will lead you into poverty. Separation from God will lead you into poverty. If you look in Deuteronomy, don't go there now, but just pin it on whatever that is. Pin what? Okay. Pin it right there. And just remember, I'm going to look at this. Go and look at the blessings and the cursings. Poverty is a curse. Poverty comes from disobedience towards God. God wants us to walk in prosperity. That is a blessing of God. Okay? It is the blessing of God that maketh rich, and he adds no sorrows with it. Okay? That's God's character. He blesses those who walk in obedience to him. So you see where we're going with this? Obviously, we want to walk in good character. We don't want to walk in bad character. So what we're going to look at is, where are we? What is in our lives right now that God maybe wants to deal with? In this particular case, Israel was worshiping other gods. We have other gods, and you can probably list them. You probably have some yourself that you might need to get deliverance from that are holding you back in the development of your Christian character. But what is good in the bad circumstances that we find ourselves in? There is deliverance. You look at a guy like Chuck Colson, who started the prison ministry, that you can go to prison and be set free, right? You could be born again in prison. You can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in prison, but be free as a bird. So the place that you go to where you're incarcerated because of your bad character, because of your bad behavior, in that very place, you can receive freedom as the word of God is preached in the prisons of the United States of America and through the world. Do you see that? It's almost a paradox. Good. Romans 5, and I'm just going to read that very quickly. I love the book of Romans. And you talk about being in prison and being free. What about Paul the apostle? How many prisons was he in? And we actually referred to that in one of our songs of worship, that earth may shake, okay? But what happened when the earth shook? The walls of the prison came tumbling down. Why did the earth shake? Because they turned their gaze, they turned their vision, they turned their eyes towards Jesus, and they looked full in his wonderful face. Right? And the things of the earth grew strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so what happened is they praised God, they worshiped him, and they were set free. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're enthusiastic about that. All right. Okay, because you know what's coming, right? All right. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 to 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, now, honestly, justified sounds like a theological term, but everybody breaks it down like this. It's just as if I'd never sinned. So I'm justified by Christ through his precious blood that was spilled on the cross. God received the sacrifice. Now he sees me through the blood of Jesus. I'm justified. I'm living a life, so to speak, without sin. I'm living in God's forgiveness. So since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Isn't that wonderful? So actually, perseverance produces character. So if you're persevering right now in difficult circumstances, understand and rejoice in the Lord and be glad, because what it's producing in you, hopefully, is godly character. Now, just a quick point. Your personality could readjust how you take all this, because you could whine and complain and say, oh God, please save me. Your personality and your emotions can come in there and destroy what God is doing. God has to put us through some difficult times sometimes in order for us to grow in His grace, because we so appreciate the grace of God. I tell you what, Friday, when I fell on the ground, I thought, oh gosh, you know, and I'm not an old man. I'm only 76. So why? Why, Lord? Why I fall? Anyway, I worked out that as I went around the corner of the car, I must have done something to my knee that it kind of checked out for the moment. But the joy was, I thought, thank you, Jesus. I'm in one piece. I'm lying there. And so I fortunately learned how to stand up without holding on to everything. Okay. So that was nice because there was nothing to hold on to. So I just kind of got up. I checked around. Nobody was laughing because nobody saw it. I thought, you fools, you missed a wonderful video. That would have been great. Okay. So that's the grace of God, though. So what I do, I think, I've fallen. I might have broken. I thought, no, I'm okay. I'm getting on with my life. So I checked in at work. Nobody didn't tell anybody. They didn't need to know. So that was wonderful. But God's grace is like that. He holds you. His angels are there to help you. Let's jump into this very quickly. And I'm going to finish off. I want you to see something. And if you would like to, I've got 3 points. Okay? Now, the third point has 5 sub-points, but I have 3 points. Just kidding. All right. You know this story, so we don't have to labor it too much. But listen to this. How do you grow godly character? Number one, we need a God encounter. Now, I'll leave that to your mind. If you have been born again, that's wonderful. That's a God encounter, okay? In Gideon's case, in verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior, and immediately imparted to him knowledge and information, strength and guidance, and he knew God was with him. But God saw stuff in him that he didn't even see himself. So number one, you need a God encounter, because once you have a God encounter, you're going to start to realize things about yourself. You're going to realize how you should be intentionally living. When you see the nature and the character of God and His desire for your life is going to change. God's life's not going to change, but you're going to start reflecting the glory of God. So number one, you need a God encounter, however that is. It might be on your knees in front of the church. It might be that somebody actually speaks to you. Today, I might be the angel, okay? Heaven forbid, but I might be the angel that delivers to you a God encounter. That's the desire of every preacher's heart, that it would be a God encounter, because that's why we exist. That's what we're doing. It could be a friend at work. It could even be your spouse. They might say something to you that is really of the Lord. I've had that. My spouse has told me stuff I didn't even know. I found out I wasn't always right. That puts stress on. That builds character. Okay. But I want to say this, in all that we're looking at, don't look at Gideon in Israel somewhere. Look at yourself in the scripture, in your home, in your office, in your place of business, in your day-to-day living. This is you if you're in difficult circumstances. This is you wherever you are. God is building godly character. Wherever you are, God wants you to express the glory of God. Now, you might argue with God a little bit, as Gideon did. God's okay with that. He doesn't fall off his throne. He doesn't start crying and saying, oh God, I'm so tired of these people. God knows. He knows your character. He knows and he understands. So number one, you need a God encounter. That might be through the power of the Holy Spirit. You might suddenly wake up to the fact that the Holy Spirit is living within you and he's been guiding you for years, and all of a sudden you think, wow, God is with me. All these things that I've been hearing in my brain, that I've been thinking about and talking to myself about, God's been the God by his Spirit talking to me and leading my conversations and helping me to think things through. Recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life as you express the nature and character of God. Number two, and this fits right in, recognize your weaknesses. Okay? Recognize your weaknesses, because sometimes your strength could be a weakness. Sometimes when you're ministering to people, for instance, and you're coming across real strong, right, and laying hands on people and beating them on the head, maybe that's not what God wants you to do. You've got to hear the voice of God. How am I going to minister? When someone comes to you with a problem, do you say, okay, I can fix this? Bam, bam, bam. Okay, so you know the word of God. So what? The devil knows the word of God. But we know how to use the word of God. That's the difference. God is for you. We're going to use scripture to build you up. We're going to use scripture to encourage you. We're going to use scripture to comfort you, to bring you into the place where God can work in your life. So remember, you might think you're strong, but it might be a weakness. Let God expose those weaknesses and recognize your weaknesses. Now, in that, you can write down there verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have, and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? You're going out in the authority of God. You're going out in the strength and the power of God's might. Hey, what could go wrong? Only about 1,000 things. Okay, but we'll deal with that as we go along. But you see that? We have to engage with God's strength, God's character, and not allow our personalities to get in the way. I'll give just a brief advertisement. I'm hoping, if it all works through, there'll be a small group, and it's going to be about, I said this, you heard that. But it's dealing with personalities. I will tell you, it's helped me. I would say probably help our marriage together, because we two opposite personalities, Louise and I. Of course, she has the better personality, and she's always right. I want you to know that up front. And she's watching. Hi, darling. But, you know, I want to say that, because once you start to see your personalities and you start to see your weaknesses, what we're going to show you is, hallelujah, how the Spirit of God can enter into your life and change your weaknesses into strengths and restore you to somebody that your spouse can actually live with and be happy sometimes. Okay. All right. I'm getting into trouble. So moving on. Right. And so you've got number two, recognize your weaknesses. You see what I'm saying? Number three, partner with God. Partner with God. All right. Our pastor mentioned last week some prayers that he prayed, like, God, more money, please. Okay. I prayed those prayers, except by faith, I believed that God would send a bird with a bag of cash and drop it on my doorstep. That's how I thought God worked. So I prayed prayers of faith, God send me money, God send me money, God send me money. Well, I started to learn a little bit. I realized that wasn't working too well, okay? So this last time that I came up, we came up here in 07, I was really, and I've admitted that, I was depressed. I was in bad shape, financially, everything, future. You know how the devil works on you, and you're looking at your weaknesses too much and not your strengths. Anyway, cut a long story short, I was starting to ask God where the money was coming from, and guess what? God answered my prayer. I got a job. Okay? I said, Lord, not going to make it on this. God said, here's another job. I was partnering with God, okay? The end result was, hey, I got paid at the end of the week. I got money. It wasn't the bird. I think somebody shot that bird. It was hunting season. It was goose season. I met a guy who's after geese. It was probably a goose and he got shot, right? Especially here in southern Indiana. All right. But you see what I'm saying, folks? We can be so foolish with our faith. Oh, God loves me. He's going to look after me. Okay, here's a job. All right, I go out and do it. I'm ministering to people in my place of work to whatever extent. So then he gives me a second job. Okay, so I'm doing that. And I'm thinking here at the end of the month, Lord, we're not making it. I've got too many days in the month. You know, we're not making it through. Third job. So I partnered with God. I didn't become rich. Gosh, I work hard for a mediocre guy, man. I'm telling you, it's hard to even make it in a mediocre way. But tell you what, God is faithful. I'll use that illustration because I want you to see that sometimes God's calling you to partner with him as he did with Gideon. Read that story of Gideon. You see how God partnered with Gideon. But God said, do this, and he done it. Or he did it. Okay? He done did it. He went out there. He got it done. Get her done. Right? You know, that's obedience to God. All right. So partner with God in verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. And he did. He did. That's what happened, because Gideon was obedient. He had that strength of character that God was building in him, and so he got the work done. And those three things, working there, will help you to build godly character. And in fact, it's going to help God to build godly character, because you are going to engage your will by faith. Listen to this. This came through the Holy Spirit, because I didn't read it anywhere. It was too good to come from me, right? But listen to this. If you think about it, your personality is partnering with your emotions, right? You know people with personality. Where do they land up? In the movies. That Hollyweird bunch, right? If you've got a lot of personality, you're going to Hollyweird. That's it, people. And especially, oh, God saved me from that eventually. I had a sense of humor. You know where that landed me? Teacher walk in, dearie, get out. That's where he's not even good morning class, just dearie, get out. Well, I had a little place that I went where I could hide from the principal who used to walk the aisles, I mean the hallways, right? But that's another story. But you see, you've got to get a control of your personality as well. You can overdevelop personalities. Overdevelop personality, you might end up as an evangelist somewhere. Except not a man like Billy Graham, who had character, right? More than he had personality, he did not allow his personality to govern his character. So, personality engages your emotions. Character engages your will. The will. I'm going to go through this regardless. I'm going to get this done regardless. And so, how should we proceed? I'm going to read one scripture, although I had maybe six, but it's okay. I think we're getting the picture. Here's where we are, folks. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, right, because of the work of Jesus Christ, that is separated, is what holy means, holy and pleasing to God. What would please him? You're going to walk in obedience. He loves it when you're in obedience. He's going to reward you. He's a diligent rewarder of those who seek him or he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice. Your body is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to tell you, the renewing of your mind is so important. The Holy Spirit works with you. The Holy Spirit works with your mind. The Holy Spirit of God will talk to you. God will talk to you constantly. Do not allow your mind to control you, but you use your mind and allow God to renew you in every area of your life. And you remember, I mentioned the plumb line. Here's your plumb line. Here's your plumb line as God builds godly character. This is what God wants for your life, to be like him, to be living words as Jesus was. And so that's my desire for you in the precious of life, that you will encounter God, that you would recognize your weaknesses, and then you would engage with God and allow him to do his work through you. Because frankly, guys, you're all missionaries. You remember the church that had the sign on the door as you left? Right? Welcome to the missionary field as you walked out of the door. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. It's a wonderful adventure. And I praise God every day for where he's brought me and what he's allowed me to experience. And I am blessed. I have a wonderful family. They've supported me. I try my best to support them. But I am blessed in many ways. And God has continued to work in our lives. So we know that he will, because that's his nature and character. I want to pray with you. You're going to? Okay. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the blessing of your word. And Father, my personal desire is that everything that is of you that will minister to the hearts and minds of the people will be remembered. Father, anything that I've said that is not of you, I pray that it will just be forgotten. But Father, I thank you that as in obedience we leave this place, you have a great desire and a strong desire for our lives. Father, we feel the pressures, but Lord, there is peace in the midst of the storm, that you are the person in the fire. You are the person who holds back the waters. You are the very being that causes us to walk in the strength that we have. So we bless you. We acknowledge that today, Father, and we thank you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.